We're in a series on spiritual warfare and putting on the spiritual armor of God. So if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, if you have your Bible or your tablet, your phone, if you have your Bible program on there, I'm going to be using primarily the New King James. If you don't have a Bible, there are several of them in the back of the room. And if you need one, just raise your hands and I'll conscript somebody to get one for you. Spiritual warfare. And this morning, and probably you guys over the next few weeks, we're going to be speaking of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is?
The Word of God.
Boom it out. Which is?
The Word of God.
How many love the Bible?
Yes.
Come on, I asked you a real honest question. How many love the Bible?
Yes.
The Word of life. The Word of truth. The Word of peace. The Word of God. There are a lot of people declaring a lot of things as truth nowadays. Thy Word, the Bible says, is truth. Come on, say it with me. Thy word is truth. It's another scripture that says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, a long time ago, when we were, this says, a long time ago in a land far, far away, a long time ago, we developed a counseling program. And in between our appointments with counselees or people we were counseling, we would give what we called homework assignments. Some of you look at me in this church and go, homework? I've had some of you look at me and go, we can't do homework. I just can't do homework. And you read more books and more things than anybody else I've ever known. So I'm not intimidated by that. But the reason we would give homework was to counteract the dip between the high of the appointment. You go out and things get tough and difficult, and then you come back for your next strengthening high. And then you go out and you try to hold on to it and hold on to it, and pretty soon it dips down with some discouragements and frustrations or maybe some repeated patterns of sinful attitudes or lifestyles until you come to your next appointment. And the reason we would give homework assignments or things for you to do in the Word of God was because it would turn that around from your appointment to just keeping right on going as your daily in the Word of God, so there's no dip down, so you don't become a dip. There's no dip down, and the next appointment, you get to come back and share, here's what Jesus is speaking to me. Here's what I'm seeing. The Holy Spirit's spoken to me, and I see this scripture, and this scripture means something. Pretty soon you go, the Bible says, from glory to glory, He's changing me. How many want to keep changing to be more like Jesus? From glory to glory, He's changing me. Not from dip to dip. It doesn't say that. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, it doesn't say from dip to dip. But from glory to glory. And so the Bible is where you find the words of life. Where do I find truth? In the Bible. What is truth? Herod said. Pilate said. What is truth? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Doesn't he say that, or did I make a mistake? Listen to this verse. Listen. I don't have it up here yet. This is all just free. You're not counting this against my preaching time, are you? John 6, 63. Write that down, please. John 6, verse 63. Jesus said, the words I speak are spirit and life. You want to speak words of life to one another? Probably you don't need to go around all day long quoting the latest newscast and the latest dastardly deeds that others have done, but declare His words, which are truth, spirit, and life. Amen?
Amen?
Look at each other and say, preach it, brother.
Preach it, brother.
Now look at each other and say, he can preach it more. It's good. Preach it. Right. Now let me give you some real statistics from real surveys so you know about what's happening right now in our world. I want you just to be aware of some things. And this is a backdrop, if you will. This is context for where we're going as we take a look at the sword of the Spirit of the Word of God. Competition is underway for your hearts and minds. Point here. Your heart and mind. Competition for who and what is going to capture it. There are 10 to 12,000 advertisements alone per day. And they say probably, as you filter it all out, maybe half a dozen to a dozen get through and really register with your response. But 10 to 12,000 advertisements, brandings, things on your t-shirt, the names, you know. I've never understood why I would go pay big money to walk around wearing somebody else's company name. But it happens all the time. But listen, tablet users. Who brought their tablet with them this morning? Okay, tablet users. Tablet users exceeded 1 billion people worldwide in 2015. That's 15% of the global population. Mobile phone users, come on, turn all your phones off right now. No, mobile phone, hold up your mobile phone. Mobile phone users were projected in 2017 to reach 4.77 billion and over 5 billion users by 2019. That's an estimated population percentage of 67% of the world's population. By the end of this year, over 50% of the total global mobile phone users will have a smartphone. You could say along with me, smarter than me. Much of what is watched on smartphones, just get a load of the statistic. Much of what's watched on smartphones are YouTube videos. 860,000 hours of homemade YouTube videos are uploaded every day. I should have heard a bigger wow than that. 860,000 hours. Wow. Now listen. Thank you. Brother Bob, will you stand up and lead everybody in that, please? Come on, Bob. 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
There you go. $860,000. Now listen, the problem is what's really happening, so you're aware of it, a lot of it is porn. Pornography, video, homemade, with filthy language, violence, and I'm not just being an old fogey standing up here to say this. It's what's happening in our world. 2017 eMarketer report on American media consumption. The average U.S. adult over 18 years of age consumes media 12 hours and 7 minutes every single day.
Wow.
12 hours, 7 minutes every single day. By the age of 17... the average American nowadays in our society will consume nearly 65,000 hours of media. Now, that's a stunning statistic, but I want you to put that in perspective with several very important things. That's contrasted with, that's 6 times more hours with media than time in school, which after that kind of time frame or that age is 11,000 hours. Well, watch this. That's 32 times more hours with media than time with parents, which by that age is about 2,000 hours. And here's the one that's the kicker. That is 81 times more hours with media than time in church if you attend church every single Sunday, which totals 800 hours. And you wonder. Now listen, you wonder why we have a society that is spinning out of control, full of anger, full of garbage, full of filth, full of violence, full of pornography, full of addiction, and you wonder why the church can't seem to get its message through. Because 81 times more hours with media is spent. And say I preach for a half hour on Sunday mornings. Let's just say I do. Most of the time I hit that. I have a half hour on Sunday morning to help overcome all of this. And we wonder why the church has trouble with its message. Now look, today's kids are a sight and sound. We've been saying that for 30 years. Are a sight and sound generation. If you go to Living Faith Fellowship in Pullman, which I certainly encourage you all to do, what a great church and great people. But it is full of video and technology and all sorts of data and tech-driven things. You know why? Because if it was just an old fog standing behind a wooden pulpit, now you've got the power of the Word of God. No, don't you hear me wrong. The power of the Word of God is enough to change lives and let the river of God flow. But if you really want to capture some attention with some of the kids who don't know anything about the gospel, you've got to try to reach them at a level or with something that they can relate with. That's all I'm saying. Listen, I want to say it again. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe the Word of God changes lives all by itself. I believe if I were that old folk just standing behind a wooden pulpit, which I don't stand behind it too much, but standing behind a wooden pulpit and there was no technology, I believe the Holy Spirit can still speak. People can come to Jesus, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the river of God flows. Someone please say amen. Amen. But there's a world to reach. Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you pray for me this morning because I'm going to do what I can do to be sensitive to the Spirit. I might not get through this whole message. We're going to unfold this over the next several weeks. But let's join up with Paul. We're walking an incredible road. One of the most brilliant men or women, one of the most brilliant people who ever lived on the planet. Some people like to put him down and say he was against women. The Bible is more for women and their ministry and their place as co-inheritors of the grace of life than any other religion on the face of the planet. If you have been taught the garbage the world wants to throw at you, all you have to do is turn to Ephesians, where we're going to be this morning, and just preach a little bit of Paul, who literally astounded the world by saying, "Husbands, you better love your wives as Christ loved the church." Come on, guys, I didn't hear your amens. It was absolutely radical for its day. And the Apostle Paul, the strong man of God, was tender-hearted toward kids. He says, "Children, obey your parents." Do you realize there was probably no other writing on the planet almost at that time that even acknowledged the place of children? Because children were property and slavery that was owned. And he says, you have a high place as an accepted man, woman, and child before God. Paul, a Roman-born Jewish man who literally wreaked havoc against the church. And then he was radically saved. How many are glad Paul was radically saved? Man, that's what we need in our lives, huh? How many have been radically saved by Jesus here? Changed us forever. He then spent the rest of his life pouring out his heart, raising up churches, establishing believers, helping them understand the grace and the victory of God that He gives His people in overcoming temptation to sin, raising up churches, seeing that the people of God had the mind of Christ. And what we're going to do now is we're going to travel with Paul to Ephesus. Ephesus in Asia Minor. You see what name is up here? What name's up at the top in the blue? Do you realize that almost all the churches and the churches in Revelation that Paul went to, or many of these letters were written to, were right there in Turkey? Do you know what's happening in Turkey nowadays? Most of these churches aren't even there, and a lot of people are trying to throw the gospel out and close down the churches in these lands. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters all around the planet. The cross of Christ will not be broken down. The church of Jesus Christ will not be put out of sight and destroyed. Jesus wins. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. Jesus wins. Amen. But Ephesus, it was a strategic commercial center, a religious center. It was the home of a temple to Diana, and the temple to Diana was called one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was over 400 feet long, over 200 feet wide. It had 127 marble columns, each one 60 feet high. Inside of this stood the fertility goddess Artemis, depending on what version you're reading, but Artemis or Diana of the Ephesians. Probably it was carved from a black meteorite significant to the inhabitants of Ephesus because it had fallen from the sky and was presumed to be a gift from the gods. The idol temple was four times the size of the Parthenon in Athens, and that's known the world round. It was also a central bank, a sanctuary for those accused of criminal activity. And now, here's what remains. One pillar. How many know the Lord is bigger than any other God? Because He's still going strong. There was an amphitheater intact today, you guys, that would hold 24,000 people. Remember the riot? They were so angry at Paul because of the preaching of the gospel, shut down the Diana silversmiths who would make these statues. And it was a 2-hour fest here in calling for the arrest of Paul and those that traveled with him, and great is the goddess Diana, etc., etc. You read about it in the book of Acts. But what do I want to tell you? I want to tell you this morning that Paul taught these people the word of God. Paul taught them the word of God. He was there for over 3 years, and the Bible declares that all of Asia heard the word of God so effectively that, again, the silversmith's trade was shut down. How many look to see revival? And how many know when revival hits? Because it dramatically impacts every element of your life. When people were schnooks and liars and crooks, all of a sudden they're truth tellers and they're honest and they behave themselves in business. Husbands stick with their wives and wives stick with their husbands. Churches don't rip each other apart. They go joyfully to worship God. The bars shut down in Wales. A great revival occurred. They didn't need to have anybody go to the bars at night. They were shutting down. The police stations, their jails were empty because person after person were saved and filled with the Spirit of God. How many want to see revival in America? Oh God, right here in this region, do it, Lord. Every one of our communities changed in the presence of God. And we just need to let His river flow. Paul moved on then after 3 years to Macedonia, was later arrested in Jerusalem. And then as he was in Rome, during his first imprisonment, probably from AD 60 to 62, he wrote what's called the prison epistles. You've heard of the prison epistles? Where you have Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. He would look around and he was guarded by Roman soldiers and he saw their Roman attire, their military armor, if you will. And he saw the spiritual applications. And he writes, therefore, to the Ephesian believers of who Jesus is inside of each one of them. Do you know this morning, I'm going to ask you a question. I want each one of you to answer it. And if you want to answer it out loud, that's great. Do you know how rich you are in Jesus Christ? You are full of His presence, His glory, His Spirit, His Word. Jesus Christ is rich in you. But Paul the Apostle is writing back to the Ephesian believers because they're living like spiritual paupers without reckoning. The Bible has a word called reckoning on the reality of what Jesus has done for them. And so Paul's writing them back about their spiritual wealth. He's reminding them, you're adopted by God, you're redeemed by God, you're saved by grace, you're washed clean by the blood, you have the mind of Christ, you're His man and woman, you don't have to go down. And when the devil tries to throw all sorts of junk at you, you can say, get out in Jesus' name, I belong to Jesus. We have position in Christ. And we need to let that lead to our victorious practice in Christ. Amen? But I want to zero in on this section. Please go to Ephesians chapter 6. And the section is 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And I'm reading from the New King James. Finally, I've only got one verse up there, but finally, after all the teaching in Ephesians, after all the reminders of who you are in Jesus, the whole first part of this book, finally, my brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And he says this verse, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Nobody said the devil wasn't tricky, but he has no power. He tries to deceive, but he's been defeated by Jesus Christ. Stand against the trickery, the wiles, the deceit of the devil. The scripture goes on to say in verse 12, please see it in your own Bible, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And kid you not, it is sometimes a wrestling match. You go, well, wait a minute. If I've got all this power, why is it a wrestling match? Because we don't always have the power or the provision put into our practice. Huh? Isn't that true? So we're growing and we wrestle and we believe Jesus is with us and we claim the scriptures and we declare the scriptures and we say, if I have to lay hands on my own head walking down the street, I'm going to do it. I have the mind of Christ. The devil's trying to make us spiritual paupers today. You guys, you know, you're fine. Just meet on Sunday morning and just leave it there. Do you know that's what world governments are trying to do? Just leave your Christianity or your churchianity at the church door. Don't try to evangelize on the street. Don't try to lead people to Jesus. Don't do any of that. And especially don't tell us your faith according to the Word of God. Don't tell us that husband is between, or the marriage is between one man and one woman. Don't tell us that. Let the government tell you what marriage is. No, I'm sorry. The Bible tells us what marriage is. And you know, every kid, just let them be themselves. If they think they're transgender, then let them just be so. Oh, no, not in my household.
That's right.
I'm going to love that child enough to say, let's talk, let's work together, and let's look at how God has created you. The Bible says, I'm preaching it with volume here today, but the Bible says to speak the truth in
love.
In love. It doesn't say, so go home and shut up. Now, I got to tell you what you already know. Not everybody likes it. So you just keep loving them enough to just keep talking in love. I love you so much, I'm sorry I can't shut up. And you pray for God to give you an opening. It doesn't mean you walk in as a bore, go to your family reunion and wear a big old Jesus shirt right there. Say, I want you to know you're all rotten sinners. I'm not saying that's what you do, but you look at people and you glow. We heard it prophetically. You glow with the presence of God. You let the river of God flow. And you go up to maybe that cousin you haven't seen in 20 years. And they knew you before. And now they get to see you win. And pretty soon they're going, I remember a different you. They say, well, what's different about you? And it ain't the macaroni and cheese you just ate. What's different is Jesus. And I love you enough to tell you. Put on the whole armor of God. that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Powerful scriptures, you guys. Verses 13 through 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Having done all what?
Stand.
Stand therefore, having girded your waist with what?
Truth.
With truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And you recall, a couple of months ago, we talked about that shield, basically the size of a door. And they would stand shoulder to shoulder, and when the fiery darts would come, they would be anointed or covered with water, and sometimes with another substance that would quench the fire. They'd shoot those arrows with fire, and they would raise those doors up, and they would stand in the front row, and they'd stand there with them straight, and behind them, they'd put them up over them, and they stood together. And the fiery darts couldn't get through, and they would be quenched. We quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I said the sword of the Spirit, which is
the Word of God.
The Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with perseverance and supplications for all saints. Your weapon of offense is the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, even if we have all of the rest of the army in that list equipped on ourselves perfectly, without our swords, we are little more than heavily armored moving targets. Without our sword, without the Word of God, we're just people wearing armor. And we have absolutely no offensive opportunity. Only the sword allows us to attack. The Roman gladius was called the sword that conquered the world. It wasn't long. It wasn't one of these great big long things. It was short, which meant combat was up close and personal. And how many know that sometimes in your life after church and in between church services, the combat in daily life is up close and personal. And we need to stand on the Word of God for close in contact and combat to defeat the enemy. But at close range, it was a fearsome tool in the hand of a skilled Roman soldier. When it was sharpened, the double edges literally wreaked havoc on unarmored foes. And it was sharp in the point, and it would pierce heavy metal and the armor. Some of you sometimes think, I don't have a big sword. You don't need a big sword. You got the only sword you need. And each of us have that same power. But let me say something really strongly. If we don't put this in, it'll never come out to give you victory. If you don't love and live in the Word of God, how can the Holy Spirit draw out the strength you need right when you need it? Amen?
Yes.
Well, I read a psalm once every week, whether I need to or not. Well, that's good. I mean, praise God, that's better than nothing, but you're awfully close to it.
Yeah.
Take a moment to let that one sink in. Don't be so close to nothing. Be close to reading it every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day. Even if it's only a psalm a day, read the Word.
Yeah.
Live in the Word. Go back over the Scripture. They're online. They're now on YouTube. Go back over the Scriptures we use and live in the Word of God. Your weapon of offense is the Word of God. I'm going to say something, and I'm going to make it really strong. And I love you, and you know this, but I'm here to help you. And if I don't say these kinds of things sometimes, it doesn't help any of us. Now listen, the sword is the only weapon that Paul declares as part of the Christian arsenal. The only weapon, the only one, the weapon of offense. A Christian who does not love his or her Bible is a weak, defeated Christian who is absolutely no threat to the devil's kingdom. Listen, please, hear the heart of the Lord. I am urging you as your pastor to hear the reality here, because we all want that victory unto victory, glory unto glory. How are we going to get it? Be in the Word of God. Amen. Well, Pastor Kev, I haven't been in. Okay, it's no condemnation forever. Start this moment. Start from now on. We got Bible reading schedules. We got a schedule online. Read a psalm. Read. Just look at each other and say, hey, what verse did you get today? What verse stuck out to you today? And what verse did you like today? Did you read that psalm? Yeah, I didn't get a thing out of it. Well, let me show you what I got out of it. And you encourage each other. But if we don't love our Bible, then we can't be surprised if we are weak, defeated Christians who are absolutely no threat to the devil's kingdom. It's the Word of God that has His power. The Word of God that has His power. And I'm going to quit right there, because I believe it is essential for each of us to say, okay, Lord, so speak to me this week from the Word of God. Come on, this week, Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you an honest question as your pastor. I know some of you are looking like, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you throw up there. Come out in Jesus' name. Some of you may think he's finishing early. If I finish early, it's okay, because my heart is to help us understand today that the Bible, you go, oh man, that's, you know, we talk about the Bible all the time. Why are you hitting this so hard? Because it means everything. Because our walk with God, our understanding of Him, our victory in every single daily life is found right here. Now the Holy Spirit will speak to you and to me through the Bible. Now, you can choose to not read it. Well, Pastor Kev, I can't see my page. Then let us help you get a big enough giant print Bible so you can. Or let us help you get a software program for your computer or your tablet that's big enough to read. 160 font, point font. You know, we're here to help. And the best help, the best way for mental health and strength and daily life and living is to live right here. Thy word, Lord, have I hid in my heart. Now I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. If the Lord has spoken to you and something inside your heart has said, you know, I'm hungry for the Word of God more than before. I feel a little bit stirred this morning, and I believe God will speak to me this week. I want you to stand to your feet. Because as you go from this place today, and as you walk with Him, Jesus wants to speak to you and to me. And you will wage effective warfare by that living Word He gives you. And we're going to unfold this and unpack this more over the next couple of weeks. But I believe God will and wants to speak to His people. Can anybody agree with me on that? Amen. Come on, hold your Bible up. Hold it up. Hold it over your heart. Hold your Bible over your heart. And one hand in the air. Now raise the other foot. Turn a circle. No, I'm kidding. Come on. Father, we thank you. Lord, you see our hearts. You see everybody in this place, Lord. Our hungry heart is for you and to hear from you and to let your word, as you say, be written in our hearts and minds. Now, Lord Jesus, we believe you this week, even today, this week, you're going to speak to each of us something from the Scriptures that gives us fresh strength, input, life, peace. Whatever we need, I believe you're going to give us a key from Scripture this week. Raise your hands, church. Go ahead, raise your hands. Now, Lord, we pray. We release upon every person in this room the Spirit of God who speaks clearly and cleanly. Some people are standing in this room and they've had trouble with demonic thoughts or dreams. I curse that in the name of Jesus right now. We curse that. And some of you have had lingering doubts. I just hear the Holy Spirit using this phrase, lingering doubts. We curse you, lingering doubts, right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just proclaim the blood of Jesus over our conscience and subconscience. Lord, we do away with every bit of interference. There are some in this room, I sense the Lord is saying, where you feel like, I just don't think I can hear from God. God's going to surprise you this week. The Lord says, I got a surprise for you. And God is going to say, here's my word for you. Here's my word. Hear it. Live in it. Speak now, Lord Jesus. Speak to your people. Through your word, we pray. And we believe you for it. And everybody who can believe God for this, say with me, amen. Musicians, will you come, please? Stand on your feet, stay on your feet, and we're going to sing another song this morning. We are going to declare the goodness of God as we go out from this place. Every praise is to our God. You believe He's worthy of your praise?
Yes.
Amen. Punch each other in the arm and say, I'm sure glad I came to church.